نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، with the entrance of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, a month in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the ulama of Islam mentioned, performed all of his four umrahs, or all of the times he set out for umrah, because he was unable to perform the first one, was carried out in this month. Hence some of the scholars of Islam mentioned that umrah in this month is more beloved to Allah jalla wa ala than umrah in Ramadan, because this is the month in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he favored. This is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made sacred. It's from the months of Hajj. However, in this month we find a group of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors, and a group of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has closed the doors for His mercy. And we'll begin inshallah ta'ala speaking about in the first part of the khutbah, a group of people that Allah jalla wa ala favors by allowing them to be people that submit and prepare an act of ibadah to be fulfilled in the next month in Al-Hijjah. And in the second khutbah we'll discuss the group of people that abandoned this ibadah, the group of people that chose not to perform the Hajj, even though they had the means and the ability, the financial capability to do so, but they chose to delay it and they chose to abandon it. And for them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has closed the door of mercy. For them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a severe punishment. The khutbah today, O brothers, O sisters in Islam, is the rights that the Hajj has upon the servants of Allah. The rights that the Hajj has upon the servants of Allah, and the many forms of benefits that we'll discuss in relation to the servant of Allah jalla wa ala who performs the Hajj. No, brothers or sisters in Islam, that Allah jalla wa ala has made us, created us with the entire premise to understand and prepare for the next life. The next life is the most important in every single one of our affairs. If we may be collecting or saving for a home, or we may be looking for some luxuries of this world, or we may be looking towards relaxing and retiring, the next life is of the utmost importance. We must ensure that we've prepared and fulfilled the rights that Allah wants for our next life before we can rest and enjoy the luxuries of this world. He says, Jalla wa'ala, Ya ayyuhal nas, Ya ayyuhal nas, uttaqoo rabbakum, wakhshaw yawman la yadzi walidun an waladihi, wala mauludun huwa jazin an walidihi shay'ah. إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. He says, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, O mankind, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord. وَخْشَوْ يَوْمًا لَا يَدْزِي وَالِدٌ عَنْ وَلَدِهِ. Fear the day in which no person will be able to benefit from his children. Every person will be for himself. No one will be able to ask help from any others. Then he says, إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. The promise of Allah is true. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. So don't let this world and these luxuries of this world divert you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah jalla wa ala tells in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mankind have been made obligatory to perform the Hajj for the sake of Allah, whoever has the capability or the ability to do so. This Hajj is not just an obligation set by Allah jalla wa ala, but it is one of the greatest pillars of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْحَجِّ فَحُجُّوا. O mankind, Allah jalla wa ala has made Hajj obligatory for you. فَحُجُّ. So make sure you go out and you make Hajj. Make sure you go out and you fulfill the right of Allah in Hajj. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَىٰ خَمْسٍ. That the pillars of Islam, Islam is built upon five. شَهَدَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدٍ عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَحَجِّ الْبَيْتِ وَصَوْمِ رَمَضَانِ. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from these five pillars is the Hajj to the Bayt, the Hajj to Al-Kaaba, the Hajj for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first blessing, the first acknowledgement that we Muslims must realize is that Hajj has been made obligatory by Allah jalla wa ala. You will therefore be asked about it on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. You will therefore be punished unless Allah jalla wa ala chooses not to. But you will therefore be punished. The default position is the punishment of Allah being reserved for those people that do not make Hajj if they are able to do so. It is, and it finds itself to be one of the greatest pillars of Islam, such that if a pillar was to be removed, the entire building will collapse. Islam will collapse if a person who has the ability to make Hajj does not do so. From the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the second point of discussion regarding al-Hajj, from the mercy of Allah jalla wa ala, is that Allah jalla wa ala, unlike the salah, where He obliges, where He makes it obligatory upon every person to fast, to pray five times a day, unlike the zakat, once every year, unlike Ramadan, once every year, we're doing it 29 or 30 days. Allah jalla wa ala, from His mercy, has made Hajj obligatory upon the servants of Allah jalla wa ala, only once in their lifetime. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, kutiba alaykum al-hajj. O mankind, Allah jalla wa ala has made it written for you, has made it obligatory for you to perform Hajj. Faqam al-Aqra ibn Habis. So a companion of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Aqra ibn Habis, he stood up. Faqal, he said, Afi kulli aamin ya Rasulallah. Has Allah jalla wa ala made Hajj obligatory for us every single year? Faqal sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lo qultuha la wajabat. وَلَوْ وَجَبَتْ لَمْ تَعْمَلُوا بِهَا. If I said yes, if Allah said yes now, it would have been made obligatory upon you, and you would not be able to do it. وَلَمْ تَسْتَطِيعُوا أَنْ تَعْمَلُوا بِهَا. And you had no ability, no capability to make Hajj every single year. الْحَجُّ مَرَّةً فَمَنْ زَادَ فَهُوَ تَطَوُّعُ. Hajj is only once in a person's life. Whoever increases in that, is only an optional type of Hajj. But Hajj from the mercy of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Because he looked into people's situations, he's understood Jalla wa'ala, because he understands and he knows all of our situations. That's incapable, we are incapable to make Hajj every single year due to many difficulties it could possess upon us. That he's made it only Hajj obligatory once every single year, once every single life, once in an entire lifetime. The third blessing that is connected to al-Hajj is that Hajj is the reason for Allah Jalla wa'ala to forgive the servant of Allah. Forgive him in a manner that he returns back to his home as if though his mother has given birth to him, completely free from any sin, completely free from any error, completely free from any mistakes. All he has on his scales is good deeds in the sight of Allah Jalla wa Ala. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man hajja hadha al-bayt falam yarfuth wa lam yafsuq raja'a ka yawmi waladathu ummuhu. Whoever goes to Hajj and makes Hajj around this Kaaba, makes Hajj around this bayt, and he doesn't yarfuth, and he doesn't yafsuq, he doesn't have relations with his spouse during the moment of ihram during Hajj, nor does he yafsuq, nor does he commit any haram by taking people's rights or commit any sins. Raja'aka yawmi waladathu ummu. He returns as if though his mother has given birth to him. The scholars of Islam, they say one of the greatest rewards of al-Hajj is that it wipes away every sin. Some of the scholars differ regarding other acts of worship. Does it take away, does it erase major sins? But as for al-Hajj, the vast majority of the scholars of Islam agree that it contains a reward whereby Allah Jalla wa Ala erases not just the minor sins, but He erases the major sins. The one that commits zina, the one that steals, the one that murders, the one that commits great sins, major sins in the sight of Allah. Whilst there may be some kind of expiation you may need to do in this world, Allah Jalla wa Ala has erased and completely forgiven, inshaAllah ta'ala, your sins if you perform the Hajj. The sins if you perform the Hajj. This is why when a man Shaqiq ibn Salama radiallahu anhu, when he came to Ibn Mas'ud and he asked him, "Oh Ibn Mas'ud, أردت الحج, I want Hajj, what's your opinion regarding it?" فقال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه إن تكن نيتك صادقة, if your niyyah, your intention is true and trustworthy, if your niyyah, intention is true, وأصل نفقتك طيبة, and the money that you're going to pay towards booking this Hajj is طيبة, is pure, وصرف عنك الشيطان, and the shaitan has left you as you're performing Hajj, حتى تفرغ من أقد حجك, until you can perform the rites of the Hajj, you will return back to your parents with all of your sins, the major and the minor, forgiven. No, brothers or sisters in Islam, the fourth right the Hajj has upon the servants of Allah, the fourth mercy or blessing regarding the Hajj for the sakes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that Hajj guarantees the servant of Allah to be able to enter paradise. Guarantees that the servant of Allah will enter into paradise. In fact, there is no other reward for Hajj except for guaranteeing paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Al-Hajj al-Mabrur laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah." The accepted Hajj, there is no reward for it other than paradise. The accepted Hajj, there is no reward for it other than paradise. Hence we see why Allah jalla wa ala has made it not just an obligation, but made it a pillar from the pillars of Islam. The fifth blessing and mercy of Hajj is that Allah Jalla wa'ala has made it such that whoever performs Hajj for the sake of Allah, it's a means for himself to free himself from the shackles and the temptations, from the shackles and the worries and the punishments of the hellfire. He has freed himself from the shackles of the fire. And this shows us that not only does Allah Jalla wa'ala emphasize you will enter into paradise, he further emphasizes by saying you're never going to enter the fire. The scholars of Islam, they say, Al-Hajj al-Mabrur, the accepted Hajj is such that not only are you going to enter paradise, you will not be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not be punished by Allah jalla wa ala. Hence is right in the sight of Allah jalla wa ala. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ أَنْ يُعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِي عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةً وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُو ثُمَّ يُبَاهِي بِهِ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ فَيَقُولْ مَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَاء. Allah Jalla Wa'ala, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there is not a single day in which Allah Jalla Wa'ala frees more people from the shackles of the hellfire than the day of Arafah, the ninth day of Hajj, in which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Al-Hajju Arafah, Al-Hajj in itself is Arafah. The Malaika, they descend and they see the servants of Allah, they see them dusty in the ihram, raising their hands up to Allah, asking Allah for mercy. So they say to Allah, what do these people want? And Allah Jalla wa'ala says to them that they want His mercy. And then He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, be my witness, I have forgiven them all. There's not a single person except those who make Hajj, except Allah Jalla wa'ala frees them. He frees them from the fire. He forgives them their sins. And He confirms for them Jannah. And Hajj, your brothers or sisters in Islam, in particular to the sisters of Islam, it is considered to be a jihad in the path of Allah, a perfect jihad in the path of Allah for the female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The jihad that you should yearn for, the jihad that you should try to establish, is the jihad of Hajj. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha speaks about the sixth mercy connected with Hajj. She says, قلت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله أَلَا نُجَاهِدُ مَعَكَ. We said, O Prophet of Allah, I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I said to him, O Messenger of Allah, can we not participate in jihad with you? As in, can the women not participate in jihad with you? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَكِ أَحْسَنُ الْجِهَادِ وَأَجْمَلُهُ. You have the greatest type of jihad and the most beautiful type of jihad. Al-Hajju, Hajjun Mabrur. The Hajj that is accepted. فقالت Aisha says, رضي الله تعالى عنها, فلا أدع الحج أبدا بعد أن سمعت هذا من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I will never leave Hajj after I heard this from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. There's some of the Sahaba, in particular some of the female Sahaba, used to urge their men, their husbands or their fathers or their children, the maharim, the men that are mahram to them, to take them into Hajj every single year. understanding that the greatest hajj for the female servants of Allah, the most beautiful hajj, the most beautiful jihad for the female servants of Allah, the greatest jihad for the female servants of Allah, is the hajj that is mabrur, the hajj that is accepted. And finally, our brothers and sisters of Islam, whilst there are many other points of benefit, many other avenues of mercy for the servants of Allah who perform hajj, one of them, or we conclude inshaAllah ta'ala, with the seventh mention of them, and that is, al-hajj is a means for a person to increase in his provision and increase in his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We look sometimes to this world in a very materialistic way, and we examine things based upon how much it costs, and we stay away from certain things based upon how much it costs. But look, oh brothers or sisters in Islam, the deen of Allah jalla wa ala does not have a price. In fact, its price is extremely heavy in the sight of Allah. Its price is you submitting yourself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of any cost that you may have to bear in terms of your wealth, in terms of your physical acts of ibadat. The value of Islam is great. The value of Islam is yourself and putting away and putting aside your temptations and your desires for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes there are actions of worship that which incur a loss in wealth, you may think. But in reality, it's you preparing and increasing your provisions both in the dunya and in the akhirah. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة فإنهما ينفيان الفقر والذنوب كما ينفي الكير الخبث الحديد. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow the hajj and the umrah. Make sure you try to do hajj and umrah, because both of them remove al-faqr and dhunub. Both of them remove, or they erase, one losing wealth and one having sin. Just like how the hadith, the iron, is erased with the fire when a person cleans and purifies the iron. This is the deen of Allah Jalla wa Ala. And every ibadah of Allah Jalla wa Ala has many different avenues of benefit for the servants of Allah. Hence he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Say, he says, to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the virtue of Allah and with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we show our happiness. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Everything Allah has given us, everything is gathered for us, there is nothing better than it at all. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إن الله غفور رحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. The people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored from the Ummah of Islam, from this ummah, this great nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are those that are preparing themselves as we speak. Preparing themselves, trying to fulfill their obligation of hajj this year. These are people that Allah jalla wa'ala has favored. These are people that Allah jalla wa'ala has chosen. These are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have made themselves, inshallah ta'ala, people that Allah jalla wa'ala will bless and honor in the manners in which we spoke about in the first part of the khutbah. But the lives of brothers or sisters in Islam, our companions, our friends and groups of people from the Ummah of Islam who have the ability to make hajj, who have the wealth that they've amassed, and they have the physical nature to carry out a hajj, but they continue to delay it, and they continue to abandon it, and they continue to make excuses, thinking to themselves that they will make hajj at a later date, not knowing that hajj has been made obligatory upon the Muslims and al-fawr upon them at the earliest possible time, and it's not permitted for them to delay the hajj if they have the means and the capability to carry it out right now. This is the general principle of Allah Jalla wa'ala, the general principle of al-Islam regarding the obligation that are referred to as al-mutlaq, the obligation that are referred to as an obligation that has no specific end time or expiry time. When Allah Jalla wa'ala says or commands us to fulfill certain acts of obligation, and He doesn't give us an end time except for death, it means you carry it out at the earliest possible time. He says, Jalla wa'ala, وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين. وسارعوا, come forward, fight one another to come forward for the mercy of Allah جل وعلا and for the Jannah of Allah جل وعلا. He says صلى الله عليه وسلم, بادر الأعمال, بادر الأعمال فتنة من قطع الليل المظلم. Come forward and make sure you fulfill your action at the earliest possible time before it's cut off, like at the night, cuts off the day. يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا. The days in which a person will wake up as a Muslim, but he will go to sleep as a kafir. Or يمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا. Or he wakes up as a believer, or he, at the night he's a disbeliever, at the night he's a believer, in the morning he's a Muslim. يبيع دينه بأرض من الدنيا. He sells his religion for certain things from the dunya. The general principle, or brothers or sisters in Islam, is the one who delays, the one who abandons obligations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not know when he's going to pass away. And if he passes away and has gone previous years where he had the ability to make hajj, but he chose not to do so, he will be held accountable. Yes, he will be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He will be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he used to say, لِيَمُتْ يَهُودِيًّا وَنَصْرَانِيًّا رَجْلٌ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَحُجْ. It's better for a person to die as a Jew or a Christian than to die not performing Hajj. It's better for a person to die as a Jew or to die as a Christian than to die not performing Hajj. وَوَجَدَ لِذَلِكَ سَعَى وَخُلِّيَتْ سَبِيلُهُ. He says this is in the case of a person that had the ability to do so, but he chose not to do it. No doubt, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu's statement is just a form of exaggerating, as in he's showing the importance of a person performing Hajj at the earliest possible time. He's not necessarily saying it's better for a person to leave Islam, but he's showing us what's the difference between a Yahudi, and what is the difference between a Christian, a Jew and a Christian, with a Muslim who chooses not to perform Hajj. Allah Jalla wa Ala made it obligatory upon the servants of Allah to perform Hajj. Hence many of the Sahaba, many of the scholars of the Sahaba, they used to treat the one who abandons Hajj, and they used to treat the one that dies without performing Hajj, whilst knowing he had the ability to do so, no different to a disbeliever. No different to a disbeliever. Al-Asr ibn Yazid, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, no mit, walam tahuj, lam usalli alayk. If he was to die and he didn't perform al-hajj, I am not going to pray over him. I'm not going to pray behind his janazah. And similar statements have been mentioned for Abdullah ibn Ma'qil, who says, we used to hear some of the Sahaba saying, Mata wa huwa lillahi asin, Mata wa huwa lillahi asin, lo mit wa lam tahuj, lam usalli alayk. We used to hear the Sahaba saying, he's passed away and he's with Allah jalla wa ala a sinner, but Allah, if he didn't perform hajj, we are not going to pray behind him. We are not going to pray behind him. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the greatest scholars of the Salaf, the student of the Sahaba, he used to say, لو كان لي جار موصر ثم مات ولم يحج لم أصلي عليه. If I had a next door neighbor, if I had a neighbor who was somebody that needed something from me, somebody I had to fulfill his rights for, but he died without Hajj, لم أصلي عليه. I will not pray behind him. I will abandon him, just like how we abandon Hajj. No, brothers or sisters in Islam, that delaying Hajj is a great punishment. Delaying Hajj is a great sin upon the servant of Allah Jalla wa'ala if he has the means and the ability to do so. According to the madhhabs of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and Imam Malik rahimahullah, they all declare al-Hajj to be al-Hajj, an obligation carried out at the earliest possible opportunity. And delaying it without reason is delaying it with sin. Is delaying it with sin. And we spoke about the evidences regarding this in the Quran and the statements of the Sahaba about this as well. Know, brothers or sisters in Islam, during this time, this month of Al-Qa'idah, where people prepare themselves to worship Allah Jalla wa'ala, Al-Hajju Ashhurun Ma'lumat, the Hajj has months that are known, and Allah Jalla wa'ala has sacred months. It is entire year. This is a sacred month where some people walk towards the mercy of Allah, but some people take a path away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our brothers and sisters in Islam. For those of you who have the wealth to be able to perform Hajj, for those of you who are within a good physical nature to be able to carry out the rites of Hajj, if you find an ability, find a means to be able to go to Hajj this year, then choose not to delay it. For delaying it is delaying it with sin. And if you've abandoned it, you'll be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like those who abandoned the Hajj, the Jews and the Christians from this dunya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to fulfill all of our ibadah. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us from all of our sins erased. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to confirm from us a Jannah. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to free ourselves from the hellfire. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين والمسلمات في غزة اللهم انصرهم اللهم ارحمهم اللهم طهر المسجد الأقصى من اليهود الغاسبين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين قوموا للصلاة.